Good morning again, and welcome to worship here at West End. We're so glad to have you here with us. If you're a first-time visitor, we just want to extend a special word of welcome to you. I have a few announcements for you. We have a habitat build that's going on. It will be going on, and there's opportunities to sign up to help with the habitat build. There's also an opportunity to donate money to help build this home. Our goal is $30,000. We're currently around $17,000, so we need a lot of support still to make this build happen. If you'd like to donate to the habitat build, please put habitat in the four column on your check as the offering comes around in mid-service. Also available in Reed Hall for you to sign up is different Bible studies that are happening on Wednesday night. Orientation for those groups start this Wednesday, August the 26th. So those groups are happening. There's one on Hebrews, creative writing. There's an in-depth Bible study that is sure to transform your spiritual life. And here is the big one. Reservations for dinners on Wednesday nights. We've been talking a lot about this. We're changing our reservation policy. You must have one. Please make a reservation if you plan to eat on Wednesday night. I will be there, and I will cry if you do not have one and you do not get to eat. So please make a reservation for Wednesday night. Dinner is served from 5 until 6, and we would love to have you there with your reservation. When was the last time you checked in with your heart? How does your heart feel? Is it warm? Is it open? Is it tight? May we check in with our hearts this morning and open to the transforming love of God.
Welcome in the name of the God of life.
We come seeking
new life. Welcome in the name of the God of love.
We come seeking to learn God more fully.
Welcome in the name of the God of all creation. Now let us open our hearts and minds and lives to God as we confess how far we have fallen short of that divine love given to us in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. We know that too often our words and actions have grieved your Holy Spirit, O God, and we are truly sorry. We have told the truth when it served our purpose or allowed us to be seen in a favorable light, or when it supported our opinion. Help us to always tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in love. We have allowed the sun to go down on our anger far too many days. We have held on to our anger until it has become a source of sin in our lives. Help us to let go of anger before it poisons our hearts and our relationships. Remind us that we are members of one another. We have been too quick to employ our words as weapons instead of grace-filled tools for building up each other and the body of Christ. Take hurtful thoughts from our minds and harmful words from our mouths. Put away from us all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And teach us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven us. As far as the east is from the west, that is how far God removes our sins from us and remembers them no more. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are a forgiven people. Let us live as a forgiven people, reflecting the loving light of Christ in our lives.
Thank you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Epistle to the Ephesians. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. The word of God for the people of God.
There's still a few that need to come down and join us. We'd love to have you. Hey, Connor, how are you? Okay, this morning I want to tell you a story. I have an older brother, and he used to teach me some games that we could play when we were waiting in line or maybe we were bored. And he taught me this game called Slaps. That's interesting. You put your hands like this, and then somebody else puts their hands on top. And then you try to hit their hands before they move them away. You've played this game. And I was never very good at it. I My older brother almost always got me, but I could almost never get him. Another game I used to play with my hands when I was younger, and it's more of a girl game, but you play collaboratively. I don't know if you ever played slide and you play hand games and sing some songs. I love to play games with my hands. And this morning, the lesson from Paul that Michael just read is talking about what we do with our hands. And it says, don't steal, but it also says, honestly work with your hands so that you might share, so that you might give away what you have to other people and at least share and be a part of that. Has anybody used their hands to pass food around the table and share? Yeah, it's just like that. And that's what Paul's talking about, a transformation of our hands, that we would play games with one another, that we'd be able to share what we have with others. If you'll pray with me. Lord, thank you for this morning and the opportunity to be together. Thank you for our hands that are sometimes clean and sometimes messy. Thank you for the ability to play with other people with our hands. And most of all, for the ability to share what we have with others. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming down. In the early 2000s, sociologist Christian Smith did a national survey of youth and religion. He went across the nation interviewing hundreds of youth about what their beliefs are, and particularly asked questions about American Christianity. And like every good sociologist, he concluded his five-year study with a book and coining a new term, moralistic therapeutic deism. It's a summary of youth and what they believe to be true about religion, and particularly Christian religion, in pieces of it. So what I want to talk about in light of moralistic therapeutic deism is the belief that Christian ethics is about the fact that what he discovered was is that many youth think that Christian ethics is about that the Bible teaches us that we should be good, nice, and fair to one another. That this is what the Bible teaches us about how we should live and act in the world. Yes, it's good to be good to others. But if this is the picture of Christian ethics that we have, we are deeply missing out on the fullness of what it looks like for us to live sealed in the Spirit, to live in a community that's transformed through the work and action of the Holy Spirit. What I think Paul is talking about here in these verses is transformation of the mind, of our mouths, of our hearts, and of our hands, so that we might live fully in community in Christian ethics. I was talking about this transformation at the Tuesday Bible study, and one of the regular attendees remembered something that when she grew up in the Catholic Church, before the reading of the gospel, she would cross her forehead and her lips and her chest. And she never quite knew why she did this until one day the priest said, "May the reading of the gospel open and live in our minds, on our lips, and in our hearts." And it totally transformed the way that she saw this common movement that she had been doing her whole life. Again, Paul has a word for us about transforming these parts of our body so that we might live with one another as part of one another in community. Paul talks with a teaching about how we transform our minds. And it's the conversation about anger. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. In our society, we've translated this into a teaching about not going to bed angry with your spouse. And while I believe that that's a good idea, there's so much more to this teaching. I was watching a TED Talk this week by a peace builder named Celia Elworthy. And in it, she was talking about her justice work, basically with nonviolent resolutions. And when she talked about injustice, she said that where there is injustice, there is almost always deep anger. That our response to when we have been wronged or someone that we love has been wronged is anger. And that this is normal and good. Paul says, don't be angry. He says, when you're angry, this is what you should do. Celia talks about anger and uses the metaphor as gasoline. If you spray it around, you can create an inferno. But if you put it in a car, you can go for miles. Our anger, our passions fuel our life's work, and we can go for miles and work for justice. But what happens when we're in our beds and our minds won't stop? We need to do one more work email, or we need to ruminate on that thing that was said to us, or maybe that we said to someone else. And we cannot rest in peace. Christ offers us transformation of peace. It reminds me of a prayer that's given in the Compline service of the New Zealand Book of Prayer. Part of the prayer is, Lord, it is night. What is done has been done. What has not been done has not been done. Let it be. God also wants to transform our lips. In the Message translation of the verse, talking about our words, it says, each word is a gift. We've turned the gift of our words into, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And again, while that may be a good teaching, there's more here. I was at a retreat a few months ago, and it was put on by the Center of Courage and Renewal, which is led by Quaker teacher, professor, and pastor Parker Palmer. And I adore his teachings, and we were at the retreat, and we began by sitting in a circle and reading through some touchstones. They weren't just guidelines. They were ways that we could live life together during this time and maybe carry it over into our lives to provide courage and renewal. And this particular touchstone impacted me in a very beautiful way. It was turn to wonder. And it explains it that when you're feeling defensive or judgmental, turn to wonder. Wonder what might have brought her to this belief. Wonder what might he be feeling, and wonder what might my reaction teach me about myself. It has created self-awareness in my life that when I have this welling up of defensiveness and my throat begins to clench, I think, I wonder what past experience of pain is being triggered right now, or I wonder what value I hold so deeply that it's been brushed up against. We have the opportunity to turn to wonder about another person and meet them where they are while we hold ourselves, and we're able to find out how to love one another unconditionally. God wants to transform our hearts. The word when Paul is talking about tenderheartedness that just grabbed me is forgiveness. Now, there's many teachings about forgiveness and how we go about doing that. But the one that I dislike the most is forgive and forget. That's not what forgiveness is. There is a tension that we sit in. I think one of the persons that has explored that tension most beautifully is Miroslav Volf. He's a theologian at Yale Divinity School, and he has spent his life work talking about forgiveness and how one learns and forgives. He has learned about forgiveness in ways that no one wants to, and that is through experience. One lecture that he was giving, it was public, and it was about forgiveness. His mentor, Jürgen Moltmann, who is also another famous theologian, stood up during the question and answer time, and he said, yes, but can you embrace the Chetnik? Wolf grew up in Slovenia, and in the early 1990s, the Chetnik rebel group destroyed much of his country and some of his family. And he knew immediately how he would respond, but it took him a long time to say it. He said, "No, I cannot. But my belief as a Christian should allow me to." He stood in this tension of this deep pain that he experienced, while at the same time recognizing that believing in Jesus Christ is that we are forgiven so that we can forgive. I talked with the kids about hand collaborative games. This is a transformation of our hands. And the most important part is our ability for our work, our honest work, to be shared within the community. This is a transformation of society where everyone has enough because we are all members of each other. There's a beautiful story from our own community that happened this week that is a perfect example of what it means to be members of one another. As many of you know, Rachel Hornsby had a successful kidney transplant this week. Her surgery was scheduled for the end of the week because she was part of a matching program where her cousin, who did not match her, but that the pair of them might match another pair of people looking for kidney transplants, someone with a kidney willing to donate and another person in need. And the match happened, and the surgery was set for the end of the week. Well, the Hornsbys received a call on Sunday evening that a family deep in grief had decided that they would donate the organs of their deceased son. And his kidney was a perfect match for Rachel. So she went into surgery on Monday. The transplant was successful, and she's currently healing with her family. When her cousin heard that Rachel had received another kidney and no longer would be necessary for her to donate, she knew that there was another family, strangers, waiting for hers. And so she got on a plane, flew to Nashville, and donated her kidney to people she didn't know. We are all members of one another. And so this week, as you are brushing your teeth, or maybe your head hits the pillow, you might cross your head to remember that God offers peace and rest. And this week, when you're walking into a meeting and you're sitting around the table, you might cross your lips and turn to wonder about what the other people at the table are feeling. And this week, when you feel the deep suffering of a wound that was caused to you, you might cross your heart, or maybe you hold on to it, and you feel the pain of that suffering and catch glimpses of the forgiveness that we have been given. Because the grace of Christ is not measured by what it excludes, but by what it embraces. Thanks be to God. Amen. Michael reminds us each week that part of how we live in Christian community is reciting creeds of our beliefs. If you'll stand with me, turn to page 883 in your hymnal, and say with me the United Church of Canada's creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. Everyone is invited to join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following the worship service. First-time guests who are visiting with us and worshiping today are invited to join the congregation for coffee and fellowship. I invite you to take note of the gray card in the pew rack. One side of the card may be used to record any comments that you might have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff regarding your comments, please indicate that on the card with your contact information. On the other side of the card, you may indicate any prayer requests that you have. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the pew pads you find near the center aisle down the pew if you've not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone that you don't know at the end of the service. Today we celebrate with Olivia and Rob Lowe at the birth of their son, Richard Davis Lowe, who was born on August 14th. Prepare us now, O God, to hear you speak to us as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of love, we give you thanks for the many ways that you love us, for your compassion and care, for your forgiveness and grace, and for Jesus Christ, the one in whom and through whom we see your love expressed most vividly. Make us more like him, O God, that we might live in love. We pray this day for the needs of the world, for the places where violence and war are rampant, for the places where poverty and hunger are widespread, and for the places where your people and your creation suffer, we ask for your peace and your provision. We pray for the needs of our community, for those who suffer from abuse or who live in fear, for those who lack adequate housing or medical care, for those who are battling illness and disease. We ask for your peace and your provision. Finally, O God, we pray for ourselves, for our conflicts with others, for our fears and anxieties, for our grief and loneliness, and for all of those things that we now silently lay before you. For all of these, we ask for your peace and your provision. Remind us each day, O God, of your love and grace, that we might not only be comforted, but also be challenged to be more like you. By your Spirit, empower us to offer grace and forgiveness, to be tender-hearted and kind, and to live in love, as Christ first loved us. We ask all of this in his name as we pray the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As recipients of God's love, let us live in that love, offering grace to others and sharing with the needy. May we give our tithes and offerings with joy and thanksgiving this day. I'd like to invite you to be seated, and I'm going to invite Alex and Emma Munderloh up. congregation, as they're making their way forward, I'd invite you to turn to page 38 in your hymnals. And we're going to turn to the words at the bottom of the page in a few minutes. And I want to just make note, so you're ready for it. We're going to add the words "and witness" to the third line from the bottom. So it will read, "our gifts, our service, and our witness." Got it? Okay, get ready. In the meantime, I'd like to introduce you to Alex and Emma Munderlow. And Alex is Corporate Counsel for Comprehensive Pain Specialists, and Emma is a CPA for Ingram Industries Incorporated. Emma is transferring from the Presbyterian Church, and Alex comes to us from Dauphin Way United Methodist Church in Mobile, Alabama. Emma, this first question is for you. As a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, you'll say, "I will." Now to both of you. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, "I will." Congregation, will you please stand? Brothers and sisters in Christ, Alex and Emma are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. Let us join in saying together, "We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to be faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. May the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen." I'm going to invite them to come out, and you are invited to join us in welcoming them after the service. We are glad to have them. Have you all connected to that Sunday's class or small group or anything?
And now may you go transformed in mind, in mouth, in heart and hands by God the Creator, to stand firm in the grace given by Jesus the Son, and move in the Spirit, transforming your communities.